Tempted to cheat and cut a few corners in your business practices? Pastor Dave Rolf has this to say.
Now, we understand people are going to lie to us, but we also have to understand we can trust God and be honest and fair and straightforward, and He will balance the scale ultimately. Solomon had a great faith in that, had a great belief in that, and it paid off well for him.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Good to be with you today, and welcome again to The Balanced Word, online at thebalancedword.com. We're aiming at smarter living as we go through the Proverbs with Pastor Dave Rolf. Today, Solomon lays out some basic business principles that we believe can not only aid you in your business practices, but also in how you interact and transact with people in general. Beginning in Proverbs 29:24, here again is Pastor Dave.
Another one about your business partnerships. Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth, but reveals nothing. You can't believe anything that he says. So business partnerships, you link up with the wrong people, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in business dealings, whatever it is, you create bad partnerships, someday you're going to hate life. Because it just doesn't pay off. We have to be cautious about who we are trusting and making transactions with from a business standpoint, okay? So, those are just some of the verses. There are a lot of others in Proverbs, but these are the ones I wanted to look at today. And I've pulled out three basic principles that I think you'll see. All of these scriptures kind of support these basic business principles. So, here is just a basic assessment of what the wisest man in the world tells us about how we should do business, how we should interact and transact with people. The first principle, and we saw it in the very first verse we looked at in chapter 13, God values hard work. The way to get more is by working hard for it. Like I said, Solomon's an example of this. Didn't need to work a day in his life. But he worked like crazy. You read the book of Ecclesiastes and you see he was a busy guy, always trying to work. Now, most people, if given a choice, if you say to them, I will give you X amount of dollars to not work, or I will give you the same amount of dollars to work, most of us would be like, cool, I won't work. But that's a product of where our society is today. If you go back historically, in fact, for most of us are probably Protestants. There was something that was referred to as the Protestant work ethic. It was that, well, society around the Middle Ages had gotten to the point where the people who came from richest families, who had achieved a certain level of success, and society was controlled by the organized church that was the richest institution in the world at the time. Well, there were a group of people who just thought, that's not right. It seems like the rich just get richer and the poor just get poorer, and this just isn't the way it ought to be. And so they protested against the establishment, and they became known as the Protestants, the protesters. A group of those people were the ones who ended up traveling to our country and starting the United States of America, what became it with the colonies and then states being added and everything. Our country was basically founded on a principle that says anybody who works hard can achieve success. And anyone who doesn't work hard, hey, Darwinism. It's just the survival of the fittest. You don't want to work. Paul would have agreed with the Protestant work ethic when he said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. When he said that, he said, I've told you this before. That's where our country was founded. And for most of us during our lives, we've been just completely enculturated into the mentality that You can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Work hard and life will be good to you. Refuse to work, life will be bad to you. But today in our society, that's not quite the way that the narrative goes. Because today it's more a socialistic egalitarianism. Egalitarianism means not just that you have equal opportunity, but you should have equal results. There's something wrong if everyone doesn't have the same as everyone else. Well, the way to do that is to redistribute wealth. You find people who've worked really hard and have a lot, take some of their stuff and give it to somebody who doesn't work, and we're all equal. The problem is that demoralizes the people who work hard, and it disincentivizes people who don't work from actually working. You know, if you go to any county or state or federal park, you will find that usually on a sign somewhere or in a flyer, they will tell you, don't feed the animals. And they explain, the reason you don't feed the animals is that they will become dependent on humans feeding them, and then they won't be able to provide for themselves. I learned this over at La Paz Regional Park from a park ranger when I was standing there with my granddaughter with some breadcrumbs. But so I know this is a fact. But what causes us as a society to protect squirrels from becoming dependent on handouts, but we have over 46 million people in our country who are getting food stamps, and we're not realizing, wait, they're not going to be able to provide for themselves. Now, if you're getting food stamps, I'm thankful that there are food stamps for certain people who deserve it. And the Bible certainly talks about people in certain situations who have been recently widowed and things like that, and people who are disabled and aren't able to work. I'm not broad brushing all of this. All I'm saying is, in our society, it has become much more acceptable to say, I can live fine without working. In fact, we take the incentive away to where if you are on government aid, you can't afford to go get a job because your entry-level job is not going to pay as well as what they're just handing you. Solomon would just go, duh. I mean, we are created to work. A fair scale, a fair weight balance is from God, and an unfair one is an abomination to him. What Solomon is saying here is you need to make sure that in all of your transactions, there is a balance. You are striving for a win-win so that the person who is involved in a transaction with you feels as good about it as you feel. Ultimately, that's what allows your transaction choices to increase. Your idea is not to take advantage of other people, it's to be able to find a way where everyone wins. On a scale, there are a lot of ways to cheat that process, but all of those ways are going to end up hurting you from a business standpoint. When I was a kid, everybody had teeter-totters. You know, we had one in our backyard. Every park had them. You don't see as many teeter-totters now, and if they do, they have so many safety devices on them that, you know, there were valuable lessons from a teeter-totter. Like if you jump off and it hits you in the chin and you bite through your tongue, it's like you learn from that. But for a teeter-totter to work, you really need two people that are roughly the same size and weight. And so you push up a little and it's enough to put you to the top and them to the bottom, then they push up a little and you do it. It's a pretty ingenious toy, really. But if you get on a teeter-totter with somebody who's a lot smaller than you are, that's no fun for you. You go, oh, look how big I am, boom, and you just hit the ground. Not only that, if you move your seat on the fulcrum closer to the center, it doesn't work. The way a teeter-totter works is when it's balanced. And that's what Solomon is telling us about life and about our transactions. You know, if you've been to our church for any length of time, we talk a lot about balance. My radio program is called Balanced Word. And, you know, it's like, because that's where normalcy works, where it works for everyone. Now, every one of us has been involved in relationships and transactions where it was out of balance, where it was either disadvantageous to you or it was disadvantageous to somebody else. Ultimately, what the way God has designed society to function is so that everyone has an opportunity. Now, not everyone achieves the same results. Some people work harder than others. Some people just happen to be in the right place at the right time. But our goal should be to create these connections that are reciprocal, that are good for everyone. That's what should feel really good. So you don't cheat. You don't try to take advantage of other people. A basic principle. Later on, they don't want anything to do with you because of it. I mean, some of you have been in bad marriages, and you know how that works. If it's not good for everyone, it's not good. Sooner or later, it's going to fall apart. And that's true with friendships, and that's true with a job that you might have. I mean, a part of an employment contract is to say, I am going to work an honest day for an honest day's wage. You may get a job and go, I am so overpaid, it's ridiculous. Yeah, well, be careful, because those kind of jobs tend to not last very well. At the same time, you may hire somebody and go, I can't believe they'll do it for this. That might not work out so well. The idea is to form transactions that everyone's happy with. Now, there are always people who are going to cheat. It's just the way it is. There are always people who are going to lie. It's like that proverb we read that when somebody's buying it, they're like, oh, this is a piece of junk. And then they go away, oh, look what I got. It's great. So you have to understand that. You have to look for ways to balance that out. But whenever people cheat, and there are a whole lot of ways in which we can cheat at life, ultimately, it's never going to bring about everything that God wants us to have, where we can help each other in relationship. You know, there are people who are incredibly successful, and yet they still insist on cheating the system. You have somebody who, you know, like, you have huge corporations that, you know, you take, for instance, Volkswagen. Nothing against Volkswagens, but, you know, they cheated on their emissions equipment and made it say it was getting, you know, it was polluting less and getting better mileage. Why, they're a huge company, very successful, but they just wanted to have a little extra edge, and it's costing them over $1 billion to fix it. You have Martha Stewart. She was an industry in herself, but she does insider trading to make something that was a pittance to her. And you go, why? You have, you know, big corporations, you have individuals, you have, you know, Lefty Phil Mickelson. He has to now repay $1 million that he got from insider trading, which he was incredibly lucky that that's all he had to do. He gets way more than $1 million to put his cap on every day with the name of an accounting firm on it. It's like, what are you doing? Why do you cheat? Enron, you are successful. Why do you do this? And I think when you analyze it, ultimately, people try to cheat the scale because they're afraid to compete for real. They're insecure. They're afraid that what they do honestly won't be enough. They're afraid that when they tell this company what their actual education, background, qualifications are, that they would never hire them. But ultimately, for people who know God, when we cheat in business, in any kind of a transaction, what we're saying is, I don't trust God to take care of me. I need to make sure. I don't think I can compete on even ground. It's why, you know, you look at people who, you know, today the whole steroid scandal, you don't know who's taking steroids and who isn't. But, like, you know, there was, for instance, the Lance Armstrong, the greatest bicycle racer ever. And he got caught blood doping, cheating, taking steroids, gets disgraced, his whole nonprofit corporation really is hurting as a result of it, and he's an embarrassment. But somebody was telling me they heard him interviewed the other day, and he said, they took away my Tour de France titles. But he said, they can't give them to anyone because number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in the Tour de France, they were all cheating too. So what do you do? There are baseball players who said, when all of a sudden I see a little tiny guy like a Sammy Sosa, all of a sudden blasting all these home runs, hey, if I'm gonna compete, I have to do it. But that's why cheating is so bad, because one person cheating makes other people cheat, makes other people twist it, change it, and then you just can't trust anyone. Now, we understand people are gonna lie to us, but we also have to understand we can trust God and be honest and fair and straightforward, and he will balance the scale ultimately. Solomon had a great faith in that, had a great belief in that, and it paid off well for him. So, hard work, fair and balanced. The third principle that I just want to call your attention to is who you associate with. Because in all of our transactions, we choose who we will interact with, who we will be involved with. And so, you know, he made it really clear. If you partner with an unfaithful person, or you partner with a liar, you're gonna be sorry. It's just gonna, you know, as he says, you're gonna hate life if you partner with a thief. My son Will, who's a civil engineer, had a guy who was offering to do a joint venture with him on some stuff. This guy's very successful in a high rise in LA, but Will said, you know, when he was sitting in the guy's office, he hears him talking on the phone, and he's just lying to people about stuff constantly. And so then Will read this verse, verse 24, and he goes, that's pretty clear. If I partner with a thief, I'm gonna hate life. And he just decided, yeah, I'm not gonna do that. But you can't avoid having transactions with people who aren't the way that you want to be. If you won't do business with any thief or liar or somebody you disagree with, then you might as well move to Montana and live in the Unabomber shack, because everywhere around you, you're gonna do this. But the real question isn't us analyzing everyone we do business with. It's seeing who can I be associated with that I can have a reasonable expectation that they're not gonna burn me, that they're not gonna let me down. Now, there are people, you know, if I go buy a taco somewhere, I eat the taco. If they do a bad job making tacos, it may make me sick. But even a good taco makes me sick sometimes, and it's well worth it. I'm happy to have the pleasure of a taco with a bunch of hot sauce on it, even if it makes me sick, and I don't care what's in the taco. If it tastes good, I'm all over it. So I don't have to, like, I find out, oh, this restaurant. I'm not so worried about that. If I'm going to go in a store and purchase products, I'm not making myself vulnerable if they're doing shady things up in the upper levels, any more than if I'm cheering for Phil Mickelson or trying to learn from his golf swing, that somehow I'm compromising myself. What he's talking about here, though, is there are some people who, if you associate with them, it's going to make you very vulnerable. We have limited relationships that's really the case. It starts with if you marry someone. If you marry someone, that can be a very expensive transaction, and some of you have discovered that. But another person can actually really destroy you in that kind of a relationship. Business partnerships, quite often, boy, you are putting yourself in a position of great vulnerability. Now, there are a lot of times where Christians just want to take a big stand on everything. So, I remember years ago when I've used Apple computers for a long time. Well, somebody at our church came in just irate because you purchase Apple computers, and you know that they give homosexual union rights to their employees. And I go, yeah, I know they do. Did you know that? And he was a big IBM person. And I go, do you know IBM does too? In fact, Microsoft does too, so good luck finding an operating system. And you know, Dell Computers does, and Bell and Howell does. Everybody you can find does that. See, you can't be constantly isolating yourself from everyone just because they may not share your convictions. For instance, I don't really shop at Target. But I get it that people are like, oh, Target, they're allowing people to go in the bathroom with the sex they identify with. That may be very disgusting to you, but do you really think that crusading to get people not to shop at Target is really going to help that? If you do, great, knock yourself out. For me, be like, if they had something on sale, you may think I'm a terrible Christian, but I'm not eliminating the possibility that I might shop at Target. I'm probably going to go to the bathroom before I go. That's all. In so many of our transactions, you just figure out, where am I really making myself vulnerable? How can I be careful that there are certain people that are close to me that I trust? There are other people that I'll have interaction with, but if all of a sudden, they're going to be saying something bad about me, it's like, that's okay. Because I wasn't completely hanging on to, in trust, who they are for me. And that's really what Solomon has in mind. Just know who you're dealing with. Now, if you're going to go buy a piece of computer hardware at one of the big box retailers, and you're going to talk to a computer salesman, they're going to lie to you. They don't even know they're lying to you. It's just they don't know what they're... If they had any skills about computers, they would not be working for what they're working for, trying to sell you another hard drive, okay? Sorry if that's you. If you work hard, someday you'll find a job where you don't have to do that. But see, I get that. I expect other people to cheat and lie. But I try as hard as I can not to do that myself. And I love it when I have a chance to have interactions and connections with people who share the same convictions that I have. And those are very special to me. So Solomon kind of lays this out for us. Some basic business principles. Work hard. Be fair. Be careful who you connect yourself with in a vulnerable way. This is great advice for us in everything that we do in life.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB. For a donation of $10 or more, you'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to wrap things up in a word of prayer, Pastor Dave once again.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the examples that you bring into our lives of people who do it right, who live their life right, who conduct business right, who are just as obsessed as you are with working, with balancing, and ultimately with being with people who are worth trusting. Help us to learn that balance in our lives. Help us to not get out of balance, where all we value is work, but we don't value the other parts of our lives. Teach us to live balanced lives by your wisdom and by your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
How are you with correction? And do you know how to give it to others when need be? We'll hear what the Proverbs have to say about correction on the next Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.